Welcome to Grim Pickens. My name is Pete Phillips. I'm going to be your host. And I just want to remind everybody, I'm not a fairy tale expert or a scholar or anything like that. I do enjoy the art of writing and storytelling, but for the most part, I'm looking at these stories for the first time. So thank you for your patience as I seek understanding in these stories, even though my understandings might be a little off. Today we're going back to my main man, Philip Pullman, and his translation of the Brothers Grimm story, The Three Little Men in the Woods. Once there was a man whose wife died, and a woman whose husband died, and the man had a daughter, and so did the woman. The girls knew each other, and one day they went for a walk together, and they came to the woman's house. The woman took the man's daughter aside, and when her own daughter wasn't listening, she said, "You know, I'd like to marry your father. Tell him that and see what he says. If he says yes, I promise you'll have milk to wash your face in every day. It's very good for your complexion. And wine to drink. And my daughter will only have water. That's how much I'd like to marry him." The girl went home and told her father what the woman had said. The man said, "Marry her? Oh, good grief. What should I do? Marriage is delightful, but it can be a torment as well, you know." He couldn't make up his mind. Finally, he pulled off his boot and said to his daughter, "Here, take this boot. It's got a hole in the sole. Hang it up in the attic and then fill it up with water. If it holds the water, I'll take a wife. But if the water runs away, I won't." The girl did as she was told. The water made the leather boot swell and squeeze the hole shut, so that when she filled up the boot, all the water stayed in it. The girl told her father, and he went up to the attic to see. "Well, fancy that. I shall have to marry her then," he said. "You can't go back once you've made a vow." He put his best suit on and went to woo the widow, and presently they were married. Next morning, when the two girls got up, the man's daughter found there was milk for her to wash her face in and wine for her to drink. The woman's daughter only had water. On the second morning, both girls had water for washing and water to drink. On the third morning, the man's daughter had water, but the woman's daughter had milk to wash in and wine to drink. And so it was on every morning after that. The fact was that the woman hated her stepdaughter, and every day she thought of new ways to torment her. At the root of her hatred was bitter envy, because her stepdaughter was beautiful and sweet-tempered, whereas her own daughter was ugly and selfish, and not even full cream milk made her complexion any nicer. One winter's day, when everything was frozen hard, the woman made a dress out of paper. She called her stepdaughter and said, "Here, put this on. Then go out into the woods and gather some strawberries for me. I want some, and nothing else will do." "But strawberries don't grow in the winter," said the girl. "Everything's covered in snow, and the ground's as hard as iron. And why must I wear this dress made of paper? The wind will blow through it, and the brambles will tear me to pieces." "Don't you dare argue with me," said the stepmother. "Be on your way, and don't come back till you've filled this basket with strawberries." Then she gave the girl a piece of bread as hard as wood. "Here is your food," she said. "You'll have to make it last all day. We're not made of money." Secretly, she thought, "If the cold doesn't kill her, the hunger will, and I'll never have to see her again." The girl did as she was told. She put on the flimsy paper dress and went out with the basket. Of course, there was snow everywhere, and not a green leaf to be seen, far less a strawberry. She didn't know where to look, so she went into the woods along a path she didn't know, and soon she came to a little house that was about as high as her head. Sitting on a bench outside it, smoking their pipes, were three little men, each about as tall as her knee, as she saw when they all got up and bowed. "Good morning," she said. "What a nice girl," one of them said. "Well-mannered," said a second. "Ask her in," said the third. "It's cold." "She's wearing paper," said the first. "Fashionable, I expect," said the second. "Chilly, though," said the third. "Would you like to come inside, miss?" they all said together. "How kind of you," she said. "Yes, I would." They knocked out their pipes before opening the door. "Mustn't smoke near paper," said one. "Catch fire in a moment," said the second. "Terrible danger," said the third. They gave her a little chair to sit on, and all three of them sat on a bench next to the fire. She felt hungry, so she took out her piece of bread. "Do you mind if I eat my breakfast?" she said. "What is it?" just a piece of bread. Can we have a bit? Of course, she said, and broke it in two. It was so hard she had to knock it on the edge of the little table. She gave the little men the bigger bit and started to gnaw the smaller one. What are you doing out here in the wild woods? They said. I'm supposed to gather strawberries, she said. I don't know where I'm going to find any, but I'm not allowed to go home until I've filled my basket. The first little man whispered something to the second, and the second whispered to the third, and then the third whispered to the first. Then they all looked at her. Will you sweep the path for us? They said. There's a broom in the corner. Just clear the path a bit next to the back door. Yes, I'd be glad to, she said, and she took the broom and went out. When she'd gone, they said, what shall we give her? Such a polite girl. Shared her bread with us, and it was all she had. Gave us the biggest bit. Kindly as well as polite. What shall we give her? And the first one said, I'll make sure she grows more and more beautiful each day. The second one said, I'll make sure that every time she speaks, a golden piece will fall from her mouth. Okay, that one was a bit of a turn. The third one said, I'll make sure that a king will come along and marry her. Meanwhile, the girl was brushing away snow from the path, and what did she find there but strawberries, dozens of them, as red and ripe as if it were summer. She looked back at the house and saw the three little men all looking from the back window. Yes, they nodded, go ahead, pick as many as you want. She filled the basket and went to thank the little men. They all lined up to bow and shake her hand. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. She went home and gave the basket to her stepmother. Where did you get these? The woman snapped. I found a little house, she began, but a gold piece fell out of her mouth. As she continued to speak, more and more gold pieces fell to the floor, till they were heaped around her ankles. Look at her showing off, said her stepsister. I could do that if I wanted. It's not that clever. Of course the stepsister was really wild with envy, and as soon as they were alone, she said to her mother, Let me go to the woods and pick strawberries. I want to. I really want to. No, darling, said her mother. It's too cold. You could freeze to death. Oh, go on, please. I'll give you half the gold coins that fall out of my mouth. Go on. Finally, the mother gave in. She took her best fur coat and altered it to fit the girl. She gave her chicken liver pate sandwiches and a big piece of chocolate cake for the journey. The stepsister went into the woods and found the little house. The three little men were inside, looking through the window, but she didn't see them, and she opened the door and went straight in. Move out the way, she said. I want to sit next to the fire. The three little men sat on their bench and watched as she took out her chicken liver pate sandwiches. What's that? They said. My lunch, she said, with her mouth full. Can we have some? Certainly not. What about the cake? It's a big piece. Do you want all of it? There's hardly enough for me. Get your own cake. When she finished eating, they said, You can sweep the path now. I'm not sweeping any path, she said. Do you think I'm your servant? What nerve! They just smoked their pipes and looked at her, and since they obviously weren't going to give her anything, she left and looked around for strawberries. What a rude girl, said the first little man. Selfish, too, said the second. Not as good as the last one, by a long way, said the third. What shall we give her? I'll make sure she gets uglier every day. I'll make sure that every time she speaks, a toad jumps out of her mouth. I'll make sure she dies an uncomfortable death. Eek. The girl couldn't find any strawberries, so she went home to complain. Every time she opened her mouth, a toad jumped out, and soon the floor was covered in the crawling, squatting, flopping things, and even her mother found her repellent. After that, the stepmother became obsessed. It was as if she had a worm gnawing in her brain. The only thing she thought about was how to make her stepdaughter's life a misery. And, to add to her torment, the girl was growing more and more beautiful each day. Finally, the woman boiled a skein of yarn and hung it over the girl's shoulder. Here, she said, take the axe and go chop a hole in the ice in the river. Rinse this yarn, and don't take all day about it. She hoped the girl would fall in and drown, of course. Her stepdaughter did what she was told. She took the axe and the yarn to the river and she was just about to step on the ice when a passing carriage drew to a halt. In the carriage happened to be a king. "Stop! What are you doing?" he called. "That ice isn't safe." "I've got to rinse this yarn," the girl explained. The king saw how beautiful she was and opened the carriage door. "Would you like to come with me?" he said. "Yes, I would," she said, gladly, because she was happy to get away from the woman and her daughter. She got in, and the carriage drove away. "Now, I happen to be looking for a wife," the king said. "My advisors have told me it's time I got married. You're not married, are you?" "No," said the girl, and neatly dropped the gold piece into her pocket. The king was fascinated. "What a clever trick," he said. "Will you marry me?" She agreed, and their wedding was celebrated as soon as possible. So it all came about as the little men had promised. A year later, the young queen gave birth to a baby boy. The whole country rejoiced, and it was reported in all the newspapers. Again, I'm distracted by the newspapers. The stepmother heard about it, and she and her daughter went to the palace, pretending to pay the queen a friendly visit. The king happened to be out, and when no one else was around, the woman and her daughter got hold of the queen and threw her out the window into the stream running below, where she drowned at once. Body sank to the bottom and was hidden by the water weeds. "Now, you lie in her bed," the woman said to her daughter. "Don't say anything, whatever you do." "Why not?" "Toads," said the woman, picking up the one that had just jumped out and throwing it out of the window after the queen. "Now just lie there. Do as I say." The woman covered her daughter's head because, quite apart from the toads, it had indeed grown even uglier every day. When the king came back, the woman explained that the queen had a fever. "She must be quiet," she said. "No conversation. Mustn't speak at all. You must let her rest." The king murmured some tender words at the daughter under the blankets and left. Next morning he came to see her again, and before the woman could stop her, the daughter answered him when he spoke. Out jumped a toad. "Good Lord," he said, "what's that?" "I can't help it," said the daughter, as another toad came out. "It's not my fault," and another. "What's going on?" said the king. "Whatever's the matter?" "She's got toad flu," said the woman. "It's very infectious, but soon she'll get over it, as long as she's not disturbed." "I do hope so," said the king. That night, the kitchen boy was wiping the last of the pots and pans when he saw a white duck swimming up the drain that led out of the scullery into the stream. The duck said, "The king's asleep, and I must weep." The kitchen boy didn't know what to say. Then the duck spoke again. "And what of my guests?" "They're taking their rest," said the kitchen boy. "And my sweet little baby? He's sleeping too," said the boy. "Maybe." Then the duck shimmered, and her form changed into that of the queen. She went upstairs to the baby's cradle and took him out and nursed him, and then she laid him down tenderly and tucked him in and kissed him. Finally, she floated back to the kitchen, changed back into the form of a duck, and swam down the gutter and back into the stream. The kitchen boy had followed her and seen everything. Next night she came again, and the same thing happened. On the third night, the ghost said to the boy, "Go tell the king what you've seen. Tell him to bring his sword and pass it over my head 3 times, and then cut my head off." The kitchen boy ran to the king and told him everything. The king was horrified. He tiptoed into the queen's bedchamber, lifted the blankets from her head, and gasped at the sight of the ugly daughter lying there snoring with a toad for company. "Take me to the ghost," he said, strapping on his sword. When they got to the kitchen, the queen's ghost stood in front of him, and the king waved his sword 3 times over her head. At once her form shimmered and changed into that of a white duck, and immediately the king swung his sword and cut her head off. A moment later the duck vanished, and in her place stood the real queen, alive again. They greeted each other joyfully, but the king had a plan, and the queen agreed to hide in a different bedchamber till the following Sunday, when the baby was going to be baptized. At the baptism, the false queen stood there, heavily veiled, with her mother close, both pretending that she was too ill to speak. The king said, "What punishment should someone receive who drags an innocent victim out of their bed and throws her into a river to drown?" The stepmother said at once, "That's a dreadful crime. The murderer should be put into a barrel studded with nails and rolled downhill into the water. Then that is what we shall do, said the king. He ordered such a barrel made, and as soon as it was ready, the woman and her daughter were put inside, and the top was nailed down. The barrel was rolled downhill till it fell into the river, and that was the end of them. Well, that's a fun little story. It's not lost on me that a woman once again returns three times from the dead, and once again is brought back to life by the king, and once again we have an evil stepmother and stepsister. This translation is pretty delightful. With the way that Pullman has the little men speaking, one after another, sometimes together, sometimes apart, it's really fun to read, and I'm sorry that I couldn't come up with so many voices for all of these different characters. If there's a moral to the story, I think it really has to be, if you have a big decision to make, don't leave it to a boot. It's a very frivolous way to make a decision about something as significant as marriage. And as further advice, I'll tell you this, listener. If you do leave it up to a boot, and the boot tells you to get married, stick around for a while and keep an eye on your daughter, because this stepmother and stepsister were out of control. Grim Pickens is hosted and produced by me, Pete Phillips. We have some musical flourishes by Gregor Quendel via Pixabay, and for now, a theme song made by AI. Grim Pickens is part of the Y'all Heard podcast family. You can rate and subscribe in your podcast player of choice to get more bite-sized stories by the Brothers Grimm.